thank you for tuning in. On this week's episode of Jordan's Big Gay Podcast, I'm going to be diving into some selected readings from the Canadian Theatre Review's special issue on drag, released in the winter of 2020. The Canadian Theatre Review typically covers and provides critical analysis of Canada's national theatre scene, and is published by the University of Toronto. This special drag edition of the Canadian Theatre Review is taking a look at the current state of drag in Canada. The theatre world and the drag world may not be exactly the same, but they're certainly parallel, and in many spaces they're integrated practices. You might recognize some familiar names as you leaf through this issue, as it interviews local queens from scenes across Canada, including Montreal's own Rita Baga, who competed on Canada's Drag Race Season 1. The most familiar name you might notice belongs to our very own professor, Dr. Cameron Crookston, who worked to compile and edit this collection in collaboration with Peter Cooling, and who wrote the editorial intro to this collection of pieces. This volume seeks to document the art of drag, and to provide a snapshot of a usually ephemeral art form. Most importantly, this collection really focuses on lifting marginalized voices and provides perspectives from those that don't fall into the category of cis, white, English-speaking gay men. We got trans queens, non-binary queens, we got French queens, BIPOC queens, to clarify that term, queens who are Black, Indigenous, people of color, and even drag kings. You know, life is more exciting when you're painting with all the colors on the palette, and someone just needs to send RuPaul that memo. So, as a cis, white, English-speaking gay man myself, it is so crucially important to listen to the voices of other groups, to learn, to empathize, and to better understand how to support others. Queer people ought to be a family. We need to support each other when there are still, even in 2022, so many people trying to tear us down. To hear stories in this collection of queens having racial slurs hurled at them while walking down the supposedly inclusive gay district of Toronto, it's heartbreaking to hear of this backwards behavior from people who should know better. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's rewind to the start and talk about Harley Queen in Capital Queen, Real Conversations with an Ottawa Faux Queen. So first off, Harley Queen, a play on the word harlequin, a commedia dell'arte jester-like figure. This was also the inspiration for naming the Harley Quinn character from the Batman series, but I don't think the character is related to Harley Quinn's persona, as I'm not seeing any red or black in her costuming, so that's a pretty good indicator. The second thing to discuss here is the term faux queen. This is intended to mean a woman performing drag, rather than a cisgender man performing drag. Some other terms commonly used are bio queen or afab queen, meaning assigned female at birth. There's a lot of controversy around the terminology used. Faux seems to kind of apply an illegitimacy to their art form, while terms like bio queen and afab queen are kind of gross and exclusionary of trans women. Harley Queen refers to herself here as a faux queen, and if you're ever in a situation where you're unsure what terminology to use for someone, the respectful thing to do is to defer to how someone wants to be referred to. She says it best herself in this piece, saying, "Nowadays, you can call yourself whatever works for you, so we're going full steam ahead with faux queen." Harley explains in this piece how drag is an outlet for her creativity, and she sees Harley Queen as an artistic expression of herself. She notes this progression of televised drag on RuPaul's Drag Race as starting with a sort of focus on fashion and passing, or passing as female. Now it's definitely shifted, and it's more about concepts and artistic expression. This shift in thinking has opened the doors for queens like Victoria Scone, who was on RuPaul's Drag Race UK Season 2, and the incredible Colby Carey on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14. So RuPaul may have been late to the game of mining the incredible talent of women like these, but it's something awesome to see. These women are already incredible in their own right, and the drag characters they transform themselves into on the show are just amazing pieces of artwork, really. So even with steps towards more inclusivity in the scene, Harley does touch on the tokenism she encounters. She discusses how her time in local competitions, like the untelevised stage competition Ottawa Drag Race, she sees herself cast with other, more diverse queens, and then watches as that diversity is picked off week after week, leaving the cis gay men up for the prize. Presumably that's because they'd fit in with the venue's regular, weekly queens that the winner would be performing beside. And inclusivity does not mean just checking boxes so that you can promote your show as open-minded and all-inclusive, without following through on establishing an inclusive community and workspace for these performers. One incredible drag queen, Creme Fatale, a talented makeup artist and a woman who does drag, has sarcastically coined the term, "Where's the transformation, sis?" as a catchphrase, in response to detractors saying that the transformation element is lacking when it's a woman doing drag. Well, one look at Creme Fatale will let you know the incredible extent of her makeup artistry. And unless women are naturally born as Lisa Frank explosions of blue, pink, and yellow, the transformation is clear. And women doing drag are valid, whether they're a drag queen or a drag king, and whether they're trans or cis or identify otherwise. End of discussion. So the next article I wanted to touch on is Queering Queer Toronto Space, Transgressive QT BIPOC Drag Artists and Disrupting Homonormativity. So to quickly clarify some of these terms here, as I'm probably preaching to the choir with anyone listening, but as I mentioned earlier, BIPOC means Black Indigenous People of Color, while QTBIPOC or QT BIPOC means Queer and Trans Black Indigenous People of Color. Homonormativity is a term riffing on heteronormativity, but rather than the system of heterosexual assumptions placed upon everyone in the Western world, homonormativity refers to the similarly oppressive assumptions and behaviors that exist within the queer community, particularly surrounding whiteness and transmisogyny. White cis gay men are in a place of privilege compared to other members of the queer community, and we need to disrupt those systems that some specific people benefit from and fight to uphold, whether consciously or subconsciously. So this article was written by Ryan Persady, or Tifa Wine, an Indo-Caribbean queen who calls themselves a drag tanti, which is a Caribbean term for auntie. Tifa Wine describes their time coming up in the Toronto drag scene and seeing a disturbing amount of cultural appropriation from white queens who are often praised for performing racialized sound, dance, and aesthetics like Afrocentric hairstyles and bindis, for example. A particular incident between a popular white queen using racial slurs sparked a conversation with many older white gay men in the Toronto area, who offered the overused excuses that drag is a place for the vulgar, perverse, and unapologetic humor. This kind of attitude sucks. First off, it's so easy to be vulgar and perverse without also being a racist prick. And secondly, humor is supposed to be funny. Hurling racial slurs, not funny. And if we learned anything from Cosmo Kramer's disturbing and racially charged tirade during a stand-up comedy set back in 2006, it's that, yeah, not funny, not good. But apparently not career-ending for somebody like Kramer. So Tifa Wine discusses the sort of imaginary lines drawn in the sand for queer people, and how there's the image of the liberal, good gay who is respectable, non-radical, and white, and how this is in contrast to the radical, bad queer. This is an example of how racialized identities are automatically politicized. They have no choice in the matter. When a BIPOC person says, hey, this isn't right, and they work to dismantle the oppressive structures around them, they're radical, they're political. They're just trying to live their damn life, and we should all be on the same page about trying to build a community and a world where that can happen. David Bell and Gil Valentine are quoted in this piece as arguing that we need to make space for sexual and gender different peoples within queer geographies, but also craft space that actively works to transgress and push back against the rules of normativity. So this article features a roundtable discussion from a handful of QT BIPOC queens where they discuss drag performance and activism. The artists in this conversation are Malika, Halal Bay, Rhinestone Chickadee, Amy in Black, Sydney Quest, Babia Majora, and Tifa Wine herself. One of the very interesting things that comes up during the conversation fits right into the theme of homonormativity. The idea of whiteness and queerness have become almost synonymous terms, both within and outside of the queer community. This is particularly alarming given that the queer community has been built upon the sacrifice and labor of trans women of color. These queens performing music from their respective cultures, or including terms like halal in their names, which I love, by the way. Even just having fun, being joyful on stage, these simple acts are important and radical and shockingly get pushback from people. Sydney Quest shared that the luxury of even being able to create and present art is a radical luxury that not everyone is afforded, especially for marginalized bodies. As I touched on earlier in this episode, Amy in Black mentions how she was called the N-word while walking down the street in the gay district of Toronto. Babia Majora, as a trans queen, shares that the drag performers she has been on stage with in those same spaces can't be bothered to get her pronouns right. As someone who is a queer white person, I can understand not feeling safe or welcome where you live in a certain community, or not feeling safe being visibly myself. However, if I were to move somewhere like the village, this would be somewhere where some of that burden would be lifted, and it's easy to forget this isn't the case for everyone, and somewhere that I would perceive as a safe space can be so disturbingly hostile to trans people and people of color, and even more so to trans people of color. This is why conversations around and an understanding of intersectionality is so important. One part I found particularly interesting and hadn't entirely considered as a white person was understanding the context of the pieces you're performing and the importance that it might have to other communities. In particular, Baby Majora speaks about performing I'll Make a Man Out of You, a Mulan song that I could probably sing every word of, but has particular nuanced importance to the queer Asian community. She mentions performing that piece and having a random white queen come up and compliment her, asking her to do a duet of that song, as she also performs it all the time. I've seen similar conversations around some white performers covering Encanto songs on TikTok. In those conversations, I've seen clapback about, oh, this is gatekeeping, but it's not an issue of gatekeeping, it's an issue of listening to others and respecting people's feelings. If someone explains why an action you're taking might be problematic, as Amy in Black says, you can listen and learn, or you can be up in your ego and that can blow up in your face. Halal Bey shares something really important, it's a good tidbit, that you can't just be non-racist. You have to be anti-racist, and if you're not doing that work, then you're supporting the status quo, you're supporting the homonormativity. At the very end of the conversation, Sydney Quest shares a great way that we can all do some of that work in the drag community in particular, which is to go see people of color perform, follow them on Instagram, attend the shows, and most importantly, tip your queens, especially the black artists and artists of color, who likely aren't getting paid in the same way the white twinks on stage are. So I was hoping to get to a couple other articles from this awesome collection, such as Hiding in Plain Sight, a story about a Nova Scotian military queen finding her own trans identity through exploring drag, and A Salute to Our Canadian Kings, a piece about the history of drag kinging in Canada. But unsurprisingly, I've already talked quite a lot, and in line with what I've said in this podcast, you shouldn't be listening to me talk about this anyway. As a cis white gay man, my voice is centered often enough. So instead, I implore you to go follow these queens, kings, and things mentioned in these articles on their social medias. Hear their stories, learn what they're up to, and support these incredible artists who don't often get the same opportunities to appear on your television set. And with that, thanks for listening. I bid you adieu.